Chapter 4 will be the focus of the message today. We'll give you a moment to turn there. All right. Did you know that it's good to be in the house of the Lord? I'm telling you, if you are not hungry for the opportunity of being in the house of the Lord, especially on the what is termed the Lord's Day, although now, you understand, every day is the Lord's Day. God made it, He rules it, Jesus lives in it and loves in it and has given you a life in it to live every day for Him. And that's, boy, that's the exciting path to follow. But this is the day that's set aside as the Lord's Day. Try going without it one day. Last Sunday was a horrible, I cannot describe the horror of last Sunday. Those who were with me understand that I am not exaggerating one bit. I'll tell you that I'm about 70% back to me again. And that is so, so wonderful. In the Gospels, in the Bible, Psalms 126, 5 and 6, Proverbs 11 and 30. We'll refer to those in just a moment. But we have been establishing goals, ministry purposes for this church for this year. And we started with exalting the Savior. Jesus is worthy of the exaltation, however extreme. I'm thinking of a statement I read this week that I can remember. And it was this, that, and I'd read it again because it was in my file, that Christianity had become so subnormal that normal Christianity now appears to be abnormal. Is that why the Bible says you are a royal priesthood, you are a peculiar people? Listen, if you're not looking kind of odd, something's up. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. And we have a royal Savior. And we talked about that, loving Him. In fact, I made this statement and I hold to this statement that henceforth, in this, my ministry in this church will not be about church. It'll be about Him. It'll not be about what you need to do. It'll be what you need to do for Him. It'll not be about what I expect of you. It'll be what He expects of you. Okay? And then we talked about equipping the saints. And we're doing that. Listen, folks, I have kindly communicated with others. You know what? You know, just as though I was looking for something. What are you doing? What are you doing to strengthen the membership, to bring about a more committed and dedicated and devoted life among the church members, for Christ's sake? Well, we are, you know, I'm telling you, some of the weakest, most pitiful excuses for equipping the saints. Thank God. Listen, you rejoice that you are at New Life Fellowship and the opportunities that are yours. One person said to me, I have that inertness. I feel that need to get more into the Bible and understand more of God's Word. And that simply means if you're going to do that, you're going to get a whole lot closer to God than you've ever been. Peggy said to me as we were, whatever we were doing, probably sent me to the hospital bed. But anyway, she said, you know, I don't know why, but I have come to that place that my relationship to God and to Christ is just growing. And I could have told her why, but I like that. Okay, so we're being equipped. We're being equipped through Wednesday night studies, Brother Dan. Opportunities to look at the Word of God. Opportunities to look at the opportunities God gives us. Opportunities to study what God is doing and what He wants to do We're equipping. We're equipping on Sunday night. We're equipping. We're equipping on Sunday morning. Listen, I want to tell you something. I hate to say this to you, but you sure are cheating yourself. From 9:30 to 10:30, we take a deep look at the Word of God. Brother Ed and Brother Randy and Brother Dan and other teachers are leading us through studies of the Word of God that equip us. Now listen to me. It's not for you. It's for Him. It's all for Him. Now, if you don't want to get any better, for Christ's sake, you might ought to go get your getter fixed. And then we looked at, and we will continue to look at, extending, strengthening in the cords. Lengthening the cords and strengthening the stakes of your habitation. That is, and that simply means we are doing the things that will allow us to do what we're going to talk about today, and that is engaging the world. I know you don't know this, but folks, we live in a warped, twisted, pagan world. And that world begins right outside those doors, right outside those stained glasses, and goes to all the world. And we want today to look at engaging. Engaging, and so I skipped a little bit on extending. To engage you. The Word of God says, let me find it here in my notes, in Proverbs 11:30, very brief statement. You will not need to look it up. You won't have time. Proverbs 11:30. Listen carefully now. He that winneth souls is wise. You've always wanted to be smarter than what you are, right? Well, get smarter. Become a soul winner. Okay? Also, in Psalms 126, 5 through 6, the psalmist David left this message, he that goeth forth weeping, not necessarily crying, weeping, with a compassion, with a burden. He that goeth forth weeping. Watch it now. Sowing precious seed. Let me give you, I'll come back to this in just a second, but let me give you, we were in South Korea in a city called Shunnan City, down halfway between Busan and Seoul, and we were there, and we were going door to door in that city, with this message. I have come 26,000 miles. I don't know whether that's the right mileage or not. Brother Johnny, you thought it was. To bring you the top news. Now, if you make that declaration, if you make that claim, I have come with the greatest news there is, you better have something to back it up, amen? Because I knocked on a man's door with that entourage of people who were with me so that I could witness a translator, two prayer warriors, and a deaconess. And I knocked on a man's door, and through the translator I made this statement. I have brought to you this day, my dear friend, top news. He lit up like a Roman candle, ever how they light up. And he said, oh, my brother has come out of North Korea. Uh-oh. What am I going to say? The expectation of his life, I suppose. The prayer he had prayed so often, I suppose. And then the Holy Spirit of the living God gave me something to say. No, it's better news than that. Now, his expectation has a question mark. What is that top news? Do you know what the top news is? Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. He died on Calvary's cross for you. He loves you. That day, when we finished the presentation, that we had with a translator. That's the hardest way to do it. That man, he started to kneel, but he just fell on his face at the front of his door and cried out to God, and his life was changed forever. He that goeth forth, concerned, burdened, weeping, so a precious seed, and the most precious seed in the world is Jesus, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing. Now, I've seen a few sourpusses that don't like to rejoice. Have you seen those kind? I mean, you could tell them, you won the, what is that, $5,000 a month. Anyway, forget it. The greatest news in the world for you, you want it. Oh, probably more taxes than there are money in it. You know, there are sourpusses, but the person who does not want to rejoice, who does not like to live with joy, because the Word of God says, we sing about that. It is joy, unspeakable, and full of glory, and the half hasn't yet been told. Amen? Amen? All right, you're doing better. Now, that's Psalms. One other. Acts 2:8. Peter quoted Jesus. And this is what he said. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Don't let that scare you now. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be. By the way, that's not option. He didn't say you can be. He didn't say it's optional. He said you will be. You shall be. It's imperative. You'll be my witnesses. Let me lay this on. I believe you're ready. Let me lay this on you. Are you a witness? Oh, then have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you understand that the day you said to Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm hopelessly, helplessly a sinner. I'm doomed to eternal hell. There's no hope for me except you. You love me, you died for me, you gave your life for me, and I've accepted you. That day, friends, listen to me carefully. That day, you were filled with the Holy Ghost. That day you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, since that day, you have either practiced obedience to Him or you've practiced rebellion against Him. Now, let me remind you that the Holy Ghost is the third person in the Trinity. So if you want to buck your back and bow up and just rebel against God, just got one word for you. You're losing. It won't work. Okay. Now, so this is what we're doing. We're looking at engaging. And I gave you a reference to the begin with. I used a little more time on this than I thought I would. So we're going to go fast. John chapter 4. And I'm going to refer all the way through to it, so we won't reread it right now. Jesus made this statement. Hear me now, we're talking about engaging the lost world. I'm going to advocate to you that you find some recourse for being a part, or being in, not a part, but being in a pagan pool. Oh, they're all around. There's all kind of opportunities. Schools are looking for volunteers. All kinds of organizations are looking for volunteers. You can help me at Bear Field in the summertime. There's always a place for you to give a model, a testimony for Jesus, okay, in the pagan world. So, Jesus makes this statement. Hey, guys, I need to go through Samaria. Whoops. If I made this statement to you this morning, you know what? I think I ought to start hanging out at the bars in Huntington. Okay? Okay? Yeah, I see that look. Peggy's the only one shaking her head no. Because she'd know I'd drag her in there with me. No, anyway. I must needs go through Samaria. Now, the only bad thing of that statement is that Samaria is one of the most despised places for a Jew to ever go to. But I need to go. Now, these old boys have kind of caught on. They're beginning to learn their lessons. So they don't argue with him. They just follow along. Oh, listen how sweet it is to walk hand in hand, side by side, yoke and yoke, carried across with Jesus. Must need to go through Samaria. Now, when they get to Sychar, which is a little old village in Samaria, Jesus sort of does something. He sits down on the side of a well. Let me present this to you this way. Jesus positions himself. He has a purpose in going to Samaria. His purpose is to encounter the lostness of Samaria. And so there at Sychar, he sits down on the side of that well and positions himself. And then, to get obstacles out of his way, excuse me, and we'll prove there are obstacles in a minute. But anyway, to get obstacles out of his way, he says to the 12 dudes with him, hey, you guys go on into Sychar and buy something for us to eat. Well, since they're not women, they don't shop all day long. Excuse me. But anyway, they go into Sychar while a female is coming out of Sychar. Now, she's coming at the most unusual time for anyone to come from Sychar to Jacob's well. Because you see, she's not the most popular female with other females in Sychar. We'll look at that in just a second. So she's coming, but nobody else is going to be there. Except this is a different day. Listen, folks. There's a day for you. The Word of God says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. There's a day for you when you're going to meet, when you didn't expect to meet, Jesus. And so he's sitting there, and she walks up there, and I'm sure she's looking him over, wondering, what in the world is this Jew doing here at Jacob's well? By the way, she knows the lineage of the well. You notice that? You notice that? She says, this is Jacob's well. He was a Jew, right? Come on, scholars. Amen? He was a Jew. But she said, we worship here because our ancestors worshiped here. Got a little lineage back to Abraham in this. Anyway, what's he doing here? And Jesus, I want you to notice this. He positioned himself, and then notice his presentation. Lady, will you give me a drink of water? Wow, what an opener. Golly, that had to just knock her off her feet. In fact, it did. It did. See, she responded quickly. Now, how in the world would you ask me, you being a Jew and me being a Samaritan, how in the world are you asking me for a drink of water? You're going to contaminate yourself if you drink the water I give you. Oh, all of the arguments Jesus could have presented. Why, this well's Jacob's well. I added water to this pit. It's been and it will continue to. He could have went through all of that. But he didn't. Lady, if you knew what I had to offer, if you just only knew what I have to offer, you would ask me for water to drink. You know the next verse? And you would never thirst again. Whee! You know what thirst is? You have 103.5 fever, and it won't give you even an ice cube to suck on. You get thirsty. You start perspiring, as you probably haven't in a long, long time, and you sort of wring yourself out. Now you're thirstier. In fact, it's called dehydration. And you'd never thirst again. We know something about that. You notice that? Listen, more people know more about salvation than you have any idea that they know. We've been studying about Jonah and Nineveh in our Bible study on Sunday morning here before worship. And those people, although they were an exceedingly wicked city, they knew that when God spoke, you better answer. And God spoke and they answered and they knew what to do. Most people. Billy Graham said years ago, man is incurably religious. That doesn't mean he's saved. That doesn't mean he's spiritual. But he's incurably religious. You can't help but be religious, but you ought to get rid of that. And you ought to replace it with Christianity. You ought to replace it with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you're living, as we sing, victorious. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. Today, every day. So, yeah, she said, Lord, I want that water. Where'd I get it? He said, I'm it. Have you come to the real it? Most of you would say yes. All right? And I know better. I'm smarter than this. Jesus is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Have you met face to face with God in the form of Jesus Christ by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in you? Jesus said, I'm it. Now that is the $64 trillion question. Is he it? Well, you see, everything about life, everything about eternity is him. If you don't know him, oh, how I urge you. Oh, with what compassion, because I do know him. And I know what he brings into life. And I know what the promises of eternity. He said, I'm going away and prepare a place for you. And if I do, I'll receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know and where you know. I like old Thomas. He's called the doubter. I think this is John 14. But anyway, he says, Lord, we don't have any idea where you're going. How do we know the way? I like that. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, we're going to jump ahead right quick. About that time, here comes 12 Baptist preachers. Well, I prefer that they be Baptist over anybody else. But anyway, here comes the disciples. And by the way, question real quickly, class. Does God ever do things that question you? I mean, you just want, what in the world is going on? Well, I'm sure they're thinking, what is Jesus doing now? He's sitting here talking to a woman. Now listen, this is just not a woman. This is a different kind of woman. Jesus told her, said, I want you to go get your husband. I ain't got one. You what? I don't have one. Well, you're answering right. You've had five. And now you're living with a guy that you're not married to. Now, you know, that I don't know. We're living in a little bit of a different culture right now, I guess. We used to call that shacking up. I see some of you understand that terminology. Now they call it cohabitation. Let me tell you something. Whatever they call it, it's still sin. It's not sin because I said so. It's sin because the Word of God says so. Okay? She knows this dude's got it. And said Jesus to her. Now the issue is, what are we going to do? We are engaging, right? Come on, class. We're engaging. Jesus says to her right off the bat. I mean, she hardly gets it swallowed down that He is Lord, He's King, He can change my life, He knows all about me. Then He says, I want you to go engage that town Sychar. Really? Got it? You go into Sychar and you tell them what I did for you. Back up one or two steps. These 12 Baptist preachers I was bragging on, they went into Sychar, and I'll submit to you, because it was Samaria and Samaritans, they didn't share Jesus with anybody. Isn't that a big sin? Pagans on their way to an eternal hell with no hope except Jesus. And they didn't tell him a thing. Come back out. Footnote here. They met this old gal as they were going in, and she's coming out, and they didn't say, hey, lady, heard about Jesus? Now, they meet her as they're coming back out, and she's going back in. Evidently, listen, if they would have even looked at that woman, they would have seen an amazing, astounding difference in her countenance. Jesus changes, folks. I want you to know that. He gives you a good life, a new life, an eternal life. He changes. You can't help but people see Jesus in you. Now then, they don't say a word to her. Next scene, last scene. She went into town and she said to the men of the town, I guess that's because all the women are home cooking lunch. Now, women, you're supposed to do that. I'm trying to get you awake and listening, folks. She says to the men in the town, I want you to meet the guy who told me everything I ever done. You can say this. I want you to meet the one who changed my life completely. You might say from a drug addict to a saint. You might say from a stark sinner to a saint. You might say from someone who didn't care whether they lived or died to someone who's on their way to an eternal life in heaven with Jesus. You might say to a life that was empty and completely void of any happy thing to one who is filled full of joy and happiness. And I can't tell you all of it. She told them. And guess what? Yeah, you know, it don't work anymore. Don't you know that? Testifying and witnessing and sharing Jesus and trying to win souls, that don't work anymore. I'm told that on every hand. They all came out to meet Jesus. I want to tell you something. You tell them, you won't ever be 100%er. But there'll be a whole lot more of them believe your word if you'll engage them with the story that Jesus says. I read an article just this past week. Do you know the number one news item in Indiana in 2016? The number one news item. Now, I would have said immediately that Trump got elected president. What do you think? Anybody want to venture a guess? Can you wake up that much? Chicago Cubs. Drugs. Ed got that figured out. Chicago Cubs. Let me tell you something. The number one news item in Indiana in 17 and 18 and in 19 and 20, and as long as Jesus tarries, is Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I want to tell you something. If we, New Life Fellowship Church, and by the way, hear me quickly, I'll close. If you don't hear me quickly, we'll go and resurface this thing again. No. Hear me quickly. If New Life Fellowship Church goes and engages this pagan world with the good news that Jesus saves, they're going to be saved. They don't all have to come here after they're saved, but they're all going to go to heaven. Good? Amen? All right. Now, the closing, if you'll notice here in John 4, the closing is this. They came in. I don't know what all Jesus said to them. I don't know how long he preached to them. I don't know whether he reiterated some of this lady's deeds. And they were scared to death. He was going to include them. No. But I'm going to tell you something. It says this in closing. Now, at first, we believed because of what she said. But now we believe because we have heard you ourselves. Listen, folks, this world waits and so desperately, desperately, desperately needs hear about him. I call on you this day as New Life Fellowship believers. I call on you this day to purpose in your own heart and in your own mind that I will be a witness where I have the opportunity, and I'll go steadily looking for the opportunity. I will share Jesus. By the way, God will give you, the Holy Spirit of God will give you more openers, more avenues for sharing the gospel. And I'm not going to enumerate those. But if you want to know something, come see me. Will we? Will we be a fellowship that shares Jesus, that engages this world? We are engaging this world in missions to the end of the world. We are engaging this world in ministries here in Huntington. Great ministries. I'm telling you, you ought to feel proud that you're a part of a church that has ministries like women's shelters and food meal ministries and still looking at other and for other opportunities. You ought to be very proud of that. It's not everywhere you can find that. In fact, most any place you can't find that. But will we? I say yes. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord as witnesses of Jesus. Would you stand?